Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. And I want to draw your attention just to one verse, and it'll be verse number 16. Last month, we tried to set aside the month of February as a time of fasting. And we're going to, if the Lord tarries, and if we get another opportunity, we'll do some more times like that, times of fasting, praying that God will open up the heart of our loved ones. This month, we're going to try to focus in on missions, try to reach out to people who are unsaved, and we want to challenge you to do that. You need more than just coming to church and listening to a sermon. You need to take things home and put them into practice. And one of the things that the Lord Jesus would have all of us do is to tell others about their need of salvation. So we do want to challenge you this month. This coming week, we provide the tracts, so you don't have to go out and buy any, but just pass out 10 tracts. That's easy. You could just hand them out at Walmart. Say, hey, did you get one of these? You could go to a restaurant, leave one on a table, or hand it to the server. It wouldn't take you very long to get 10 tracts out. And some of you may have never passed out a gospel tract in your entire life. And so I want to challenge you. When I first came to know Christ as my Savior, I started learning how to be a witness just by inviting people to come to church. I didn't know how to tell people how to get saved. I knew if they, I can get them to church, they could hear the gospel, and maybe they'd get saved at church. And so I started talking to people and inviting them to come to church. I heard years later, they did a survey. In the survey, a quarter of the people surveyed said that they would go to church if somebody just asked them.
Wow.
You got people living around you that would go to church if somebody just asked them. And so we've got a great responsibility to get the gospel out to those who have never heard the gospel. And we want to help you do that, and we'll help you any way we can. If you need some further instruction, personal instruction, any way we can help you to learn how to be a witness, we certainly want to do that. But let's take our Bibles and look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. One of the problems people have with sharing their faith is they're embarrassed. They don't know how people are going to respond. And they don't want to feel uncomfortable when they go to talk to somebody about Jesus and then have somebody ridicule them or make fun of them or laugh at them. And so a lot of Christians don't try to share their faith because they're afraid of how other people might respond. And I want to share with you a verse this morning I think that might help you if you let the Lord use it to speak to your heart. Romans 1 verse 16, the Apostle Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to look into your word this morning. And Lord, we're glad that your word is living, it's active, it's alive, it's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And we pray, God, that it would do a great work this morning. We ask that you might lift up your word before our faces as a mirror, that we might see ourselves and see the need that we have to become more like Christ. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would do a work in us when it comes to sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you'd use this section of Scripture to help us, Lord, to become more like Jesus. I pray, Father, that if there's any among us in this service that are lost, that are unsaved, that this might be the very service that they come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. We ask that you would bless it with your presence and power. I pray for the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Use me this morning to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Please, Lord, keep me back from saying things that I ought not to say. But Lord, we pray your will be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Again, this month, we want to try to emphasize missions, or reaching out to those that are unsaved, lost, those who have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Yesterday, a group of our men from the church went out and we knocked on our neighbor's doors. We've tried to reach our community one door at a time, knocking on the doors, trying to present the gospel to people that we meet. That's not always the easiest way to find lost people. Usually if someone knocks on your door, what is your response? If your response is like my wife, she doesn't even go to the door. And I'm sure we run across that sometimes. But we're doing that because this is our Jerusalem. God has called us to reach this city with the gospel. And we can't reach this city with the gospel if we're just sitting in the church building and talking about Bible verses all the time. Amen? Amen. We've got to get into our community and try to share the good news that Jesus is the only Savior to those that will give us a hearing. After we went to do our work in the morning, knocking on doors, Brother Lewis and I went to the hospital, and we visited with a man named Travis. It's been in there for three weeks, Brother Lewis has said. And to my pleasant surprise, when I handed him a gospel tract, he said, "Hey, there's a lady from your church that handed me one of these already." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I think her name was Linda." And I said to his sister, Linda, I said, "I'm so glad that you went up there and visited with Travis and gave him that gospel tract." And so we were able to talk to him about his need of becoming a Christian. They told him at one time when he went to the hospital, he had only 12 hours to live. I said, "Travis, what would happen to you if you died before the end of that 12 hours? And so we were able to share the gospel with Travis. And in that hospital bed, Travis made a profession of faith. He bowed his head and asked the Lord Jesus to come into his heart and to save him. Amen. And we thank the Lord that God spoke to Travis, and that Travis wanted Jesus to save him, and he asked Jesus that he would. Now listen, the gospel is really a simple truth. The word gospel means good news. Good news. When Jesus came in the world, when he was born in the world, the angels sang and celebrated his birth. And at that celebration, they said, peace on earth and goodwill to men.
Amen.
When I was a young man and unsaved, I really thought God was angry with me. And that God just looked for an opportunity to judge me. He was waiting to burn me up and send me to hell. I had a wrong concept of who God really is. Back then, I'd find me a large ant bed, and I would get me a milk jug, and I'd put it on the end of a stick, and put it over the fire, and when it started melting, the plastic would go, pew, pew. It made that sound, pew. That's that very same sound, pew. And so I'd stir up the ant bed, and I was God. And those little ants down there, I was tearing them up. And I really thought that's who God is. He couldn't wait to judge us. He couldn't wait to punish us. In fact, when I was young, I used to think all the time, God, why did you even make me? I wish I had never been born. Now I've got to worry about this heaven thing and this hell thing. And, you know, I don't have no choice in it now. You put me here, and now I've got to worry about whether I'm going to go to heaven or hell or not. And I'm so glad that God was gracious enough in my life to move my family next to a man of faith that lived for the Lord Jesus Christ and preached the gospel of Christ. I started going to church. Brother Otis Whitehead, my wife's dad. And when he would stand up, he'd preach the gospel, and I finally began to understand, Brother Lewis, what the gospel was. I thought in order to be saved, I had to save myself. And I thought this is how I would save myself. I would save myself by being good enough. I would stop my sin, and I'd start being a good man. And I, you know, if I could be good, then I might can make it to heaven. And every time I started trying to be better, improve my life, not get as much trouble, I'd always get in worse trouble. I remember during that time trying to be better that I ended up in the back seat of a police car with a handcuff behind my back, and I was looking at my friends in the principal's office, and they're shaking their head at me. I'm like, how in the world did this day end up? With me in the back of a police car going downtown to the sheriff's office. I thank God for that, because what God did was show me, Tommy, even at your best, you're going to mess your life up. You cannot do it. I really thought that I could turn over a new leaf and I could improve things and change things, but it was clear to me, the more I touched my life, the more I messed my life up. I had a vice principal back then, and he knew how to handle a paddle. He was very good at paddling. I didn't fear too many of my teachers when they paddled me, but I didn't want to get paddled by the vice principal. And one of those times I was trying to do good or improve, Brother Bruce, he was walking up and down the halls of the school and outside with his paddle in hand, and he was looking for me. I had gotten in trouble again. And so finally he caught me, Brother George, and he sat me down in his office, and he said, Tommy, there is no more gray areas with you and me. It's only black and white. You have no more grays. If you get in trouble, you're going to get it. I mean, And so as hard as I would try, I couldn't help myself. But the night that I came to faith in Christ, Jesus changed my life. I was sitting in a service much like this, and the preacher was preaching the gospel, and the Holy Spirit of God started working on me, and he said to me, Tommy, you need to be saved, and you need to be saved tonight. And I thought, honestly, my heart would pound out of my chest. You don't have to have that same physical experience. You don't need a light like Paul had on Damascus. But what you do need is God to deal with you.
Amen.
And he drew me to an altar, and in that altar, the gospel was shared with me, and I believed the gospel, and I received Christ. And that night, God changed my life. I've never been the same since I met Jesus.
Amen.
Well, that's the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached way back in his day. That's the gospel that you and I are commanded to preach to everyone that we come in contact with. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's your job, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. And we want to encourage you to do that. So I want you to look at, first of all, the praise for this gospel. Paul said about the gospel that he was not ashamed of the gospel. He's not embarrassed by the gospel. The Apostle Paul was a very brilliant man. He was a highly educated man. And he was a devout Pharisee. I think Paul's desire was to be the best Pharisee that a Pharisee could be. He wanted to have his name known as a great Pharisee, a great religious teacher. Paul's experience was, before he met Christ, a persecutor of the church. We first meet the Apostle Paul when Stephen is being stoned to death, and the Bible says that they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. We first meet him when Stephen, the first martyr, life is ending because of his love for Jesus. And then we learn the Apostle Paul that he wreaked havoc in the church. Everywhere he could find Christians, he would persecute them. He would have them arrested. He would have them imprisoned. He would even have their life ended because they were worshipers of God. In Acts chapter 9, Paul was going to Damascus to arrest other Christians that were worshiping Christ. And as he went to Damascus, he met Jesus on that road, and Jesus changed his life. He took him from someone who hated the church, hated Jesus, so transformed his life that he became what most people believe the greatest Christian in the Bible. The greatest missionary that the church has ever seen. He went from being the persecutor of Christ to the proclaimer of Christ. Can I say something to you? Only the gospel of Jesus can make that kind of change in someone's life. And Paul says about this gospel that he is not embarrassed. He's not ashamed of it at all. Remember, Paul was standing before many different people in his day. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is standing on Mars Hill. At Mars Hill, they would debate the latest topics. Men would meet to show how great their minds were. And they would go over there to debate and defeat others in debate. On that place, they had idols to every god they could imagine. And they had one to an unknown god, just in case they missed one. And when Paul got his chance to preach or speak, he started saying to them, I want to tell you about this one that you don't know anything about. And he preached Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, and coming again.
Amen.
Can I remind you all what their response was in Acts chapter 17? Verse 31 says this, wherefore he hath given assurance, he's talking about Jesus coming to judge the world, wherefore he has given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Brother Michael, this is their response. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. They said, Paul, we've heard some crazy things. People are coming here saying all kinds of silly stuff. But what you just said is the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard in our life. That God brought someone back to life. Someone died, and he was brought back to life the third day. Paul would continue to preach the gospel. He found himself before Festus. In Acts chapter 26, verse 24, Listen to what the Bible says in this meeting with Festus. Festus turned to the Apostle Paul and he spake and said, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning hath made thee mad. He said, Paul, you've gone crazy. You really think I'm going to believe that? You are insane. This isn't brilliant. This isn't wise. This isn't good news. It sounds like fairy tales to me. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul wrote to the wise people who thought themselves to be wise. Verse 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But listen, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You see, what the devil loves to do, he loves to use ridicule, mockery, laughter, to try to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. I feel that same pressure. I don't want to be pointed out in the crowd. I don't want to be laughed at. I don't want the crowd looking at me, pointing the finger at me and saying, you're the dumbest person we've ever met in our entire life. When I went to school, I didn't want to be the oddball. Any of y'all want to be an oddball? Yeah, I wanted to fit in. And that's what you face when you're trying to surrender to Christ. You know the world is opposing the gospel, and if you're not careful, you'll let their opposition to the gospel silence you from proclaiming the gospel. Paul was not persuaded by that. Paul said, I'm going to preach it whether they like it or not. I'm not ashamed of it at all.
Amen.
In the book of Nehemiah and the people are building the walls around Jerusalem. How many of y'all remember the book of Nehemiah and how they had enemies?
Mm-hmm.
Tobiah, Sanballat. And they couldn't stop what Nehemiah and them were doing. So in chapter 4, what they reverted to was mockery. You know why they used mockery? They wanted to discourage the people from doing what God had called them to do. Building the wall. So in mockery, if you have it in Nehemiah chapter number 4, Sanballat and Tobiah and them said, what do these feeble Jews? You're such a weak people. What do y'all think you're doing? Will they fortify themselves? You can almost hear. Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? I mean, come on. You're not going to finish this work. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Even the stones you're using are worthless stones. Why are they using this kind of language? They're trying to discourage them from doing what God called them to do. The world uses that same tool. The devil loves to try to persuade you that what you're doing is silly, it's ridiculous. Everybody laughs at it. Look at what Sanballat, I believe, added to it. He said, or Tobiah. He said in verse 3, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their wall. He said, even what you build, a little old tiny fox, if he was to climb up that wall, it would just fall over. Why is he doing that? Mockery, discouragement. The when you think about handing out a tract, you're thinking, I don't know how these people are going to respond. I don't want them throwing that tract back in my face. I don't want them to laugh at me. That is from the devil, it's not from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
There's going to be a lot of people that you pass the tract out to that's going to say thank you. Very seldom. I mean, once in a while you'll see someone take it and throw it on the floor. Once in a while, and that's the only time that sticks in our mind. Not the many people that we met yesterday, that even though some seem to be in a hurry, they said, well, I'll take that and I'll read it. We used to know a couple that were saved at the church that Brother Bruce and Brother Lewis and them used to attend, Harvest. Their testimony is this, and it was a lovely couple. They passed out more tracts than any couple that I've ever known.
Yes.
But they said they come home one Sunday. And they usually would walk through a side door to get in their house. But for some reason, this day, they walked through the front door. And when they walked through the front door, they saw a little gospel tract there. They took that gospel tract in. They read it. God started working in their life. Then the lady first came to faith in Christ. She started going to church. Her husband came to faith in Christ. And they turned out to be some of the sweetest, greatest Christians that you'd ever meet. Just because somebody left, they don't even know who left the track on the door, but somebody cared enough to leave a track, and because they left the track, that couple was saved. And listen to me, there's no telling how many other people were saved because those were some passing out track people were.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
All becomes overcome their embarrassment. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'll put the gospel next to anything the world has.
Amen.
And it's better than what the world offers. You know what this world needs? They need the gospel.
Amen.
You know what would help the world today? The gospel.
Yes.
And if people would really embrace the gospel and receive the gospel, wars would cease.
Yes.
There would be no famine. The answer to the world's problems is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Put it next to anything that the world offers. Philosophy, psychiatry, education, atheism. I've seen some recent debates with secular humanists. Debating Christians on which worldview is the best. Christianity or secular humanism. And the humanists say, well, you know, our rule of laws of how we're going to practice our life is we do what we think we ought to do. So how are y'all going to organize society? We're going to organize society by what society thinks best. And we're going to take the things that are best for society and we're going to implement those things in society. Can I ask y'all, can anybody know the history? Realize this, sometimes societies, whole societies, get things wrong, drastically wrong.
Yes, they do.
You know, there's a society in Germany, all the people seem to embrace the complete destruction of the Jewish nation. The Holocaust. And everybody was for it, everybody had their hand raised, everybody thought it was a good thing. It was the most wicked, evil thing the world's ever seen. And yet, society said, you really want them telling you what to do? I don't. Sadly, there was a time in America where slavery was promoted. Politicians had owned slaves. They fought to have slaves. People said it was right. Even wicked preachers preached that it was okay. Society embraced it. Was that a good thing?
No.
It was a great evil.
Yeah.
Just because people think it's good, it doesn't make it good. God's law is right. Why? Because He's the all-knowing God. He knows everything.
That's right. Amen.
And put Christianity up to any plan or path or goal that people have. I'd rather have a prison that would allow the gospel to be preached and the Bible to be taught and the Word of God promoted and maybe put in every prison cell and in the cafeteria and they heard gospel music. I'd rather have that as a hope for reformation than anything the world offers. Why? Because only the gospel can change hearts.
Amen.
Only the gospel. Only the gospel can make a wicked, selfish, hell-bound sinner soft, loving, kind, and tender.
Yes.
Only the gospel can do that. Amen?
Amen.
Only the gospel can take a man like Paul who wanted every Christian dead to making him want everybody to become a Christian. Where the gospel has gone, it has transformed. I hate when people try to rewrite history, don't you?
Yes.
They say Christianity was cruel in Africa, not realizing That Christianity has been in Africa far before the Europeans ever got there.
That's right. Yeah.
They have a longer history of Christianity than any European nation has.
Amen.
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 They go back to the. They go all the way back to the chosen apostles themselves. Most Europeans don't go back that far. It's not Christianity that turned nations in the wrong direction. It may be a corrupt view or someone using Christianity for selfish means, but it's never been Christ that's done that. You drop a Christian off into the middle of a nation that are cannibalists, guess what happens? They stop being cannibalists. Look what happened to Rome when they stopped persecuting the church. The Romans said, listen, the fact y'all have people go to the Colosseum and see them eaten up by lions and ripped apart, that is wicked. That's not love. It was the influence of Christians that caused that wickedness to cease in the Colosseums. Mm-hmm. After they've been victims of that great evil for a long time, Christians are the ones that built the educational systems, even our day. Some of our greatest known colleges were founded as places to promote the teaching and training of pastors. You know, Harvard was a Christian college. It was founded for Christian reasons. You know, Yale was a Christian college founded. Most of our colleges were started because people wanted others trained to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our hospitals, our educational system, all the good that goes on in the world is because of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we don't reach the gospel, we could change the world for better. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. They can make fun of it. They can ridicule it, laugh at it, scorn it. It's still the power of God unto salvation. Amen?
Right. Amen.
Has the power to transform lives. Paul said about this gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. That word power is a word that most of you are probably familiar with. It's dunamis. It's the word we find in Acts chapter 1. That they'll receive the Holy Spirit. When they receive the Holy Spirit, they'll receive power to witness. Dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite. Right? Is that true?
Amen.
Now listen, dynamite is powerful.
Yes, it is.
Right.
When you present the gospel to someone, let me tell you something. That's powerful.
Yes.
I've never seen a stick of dynamite that was lit that didn't do some mass destruction. Have you?
Yes.
I see that on TV, so I don't know how much that's fake, but I don't have any personal first-hand experience with dynamite, I'm saying. Just in case y'all guess. But it's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
The gospel is powerful.
Yes.
Guess who it's powerful for? Powerful for the
Christ.
Those that
believe.
Mm-hmm. We were talking to Travis yesterday. Travis had an important decision to make. He can hear the gospel, listen to the gospel, and then he had a choice, Brother George. Either he could believe that gospel, or he could reject that gospel. How many of y'all know that's true?
Amen.
Brother Bruce, if he believed that gospel, guess what would happen? The Holy Spirit of God would come and indwell him.
Yeah.
All his sins would be forgiven, erased. And listen what else the Bible said the gospel does. And the gospel would make him a new man.
Amen.
He wouldn't be the same old man he was when me and Brother Lewis walked in there. He would be a completely new creation. Why? Because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ would come and dwell him, and the indwelling presence of Christ would make Travis a different Travis altogether.
Amen.
Just like it makes Saul of Tarsus Paul. Completely different man. Same individual.
Amen.
But what a difference.
Yeah.
Just like he took me when I was 16 years old. A sinner, hell-deserving sinner. And when I knelt and I said, Jesus, forgive me and save me, he changed my life.
Yes.
How many of you are here this morning that you have received Christ as your Savior and He's changed your life?
Hallelujah.
Right? I'm glad I'm not who I once was.
Amen.
You wouldn't like me much if you knew who I once was.
Amen.
And I'm not nowhere near what I ought to be for Christ. I want to be more like Christ. But I'm so glad He saved me. And by the way, the record of what God has done for people is just amazing. There was a man named Mel Trotter, if you ever get a chance to look at his story. Mel Trotter was addicted to alcohol. He tried everything he could think of to stop drinking alcohol. Everything he tried to go back to. Tried AA, tried everything. But he just ended up going back to drinking alcohol. Wasting all his income for his family. His family lived in abject poverty. They couldn't buy clothes for the kids, shoes for them to wear. All because anytime he got a hold of any money, he would take it down to the local bar and he would buy the cheapest alcohol available. The cheapest alcohol back then is at the end of the day, they take all the glasses that had a little bit of alcohol left in after people had drunk out of it. They would pour it into a container and he would go in there and he'd buy that alcohol that already had been drunken out of. Because he was so addicted to alcohol. His little baby died. He didn't have no money for funeral clothes. So the neighbors raised the money to get clothes for his kids. So he went up to the casket. And as he leaned over his dead baby, he looked at his brand new shoes. He slipped the shoes off his dead baby's body, put them in his jacket. Went down to that local bar, put those shoes from his dead child on the table and said, "What can I get for this?" They gave him some of that used alcohol, drank every bit of it, got so disgusted with himself, he's walking to the bridge, he's going to end his life. But I've tried everything I can think of. I'm so wicked I stole the shoes off my dead baby. Get alcohol. There's no hope for me. So he's going up the bridge to jump off and end his life, and he hears some gospel music. And a man that cares about others said to him, "Come on, come on in. Just sit with us for a little while. Come here, listen to what's going to be said." So he went in there and he sat down and listened to the gospel of Christ and was drawn by the Holy Spirit of God to Jesus to be saved. And in that very service, he received Christ as his Savior. This is his testimony. You can read it for yourself. He would become a preacher of the gospel after this. He never had another desire for a drop of alcohol the rest of his life. God took it all away. He tried everything he could think of. But when he met Jesus, Jesus took it all away. Now, listen to me. Jesus has done the same thing for some of you. And you have been saved. And there's some things you're struggling with now. And you're saying, "Preacher, why don't He take that away?" If you'll come back to Him with the same faith you came to Him to be saved over that issue, He'll do the same thing over that issue as well.
Amen. Amen.
You still need Jesus to save you.
Right.
You still need Jesus to set you free from sin. Amen?
Amen?
Only Jesus has the power to do that.
Amen.
If He can save Tommy Capps or Mel Trotter or Saul and turn him into a Paul, He certainly can save you. Let me end by saying this. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." By the way, I'm not ashamed of it either. "For it is the power of God unto salvation." I've seen people's lives transformed. I don't know Travis's heart. Brother Lewis, you don't. I can tell you this, though. Travis truly embraced Christ as his Savior. He's going to be a transformed man.
Yes, he is.
Because that's the power of the gospel. Amen?
That's right.
But notice Paul said, this is to who it's for. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And I want you to get a hold of that. The gospel is not for a select few. It's not for a small number. It's not for 144,000. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
If I was a part of that group, I'd think by now, you probably are full up on that 144,000. I probably need to try something different.
Yeah, right.
It's not for 144,000. It's not for just a chosen number. When you read the Bible says this over and over again. You know what the gospel's for? It's for everyone. Amen. It's for everybody. It's for whosoever. Amen. It's in any nation, any person. It's amazing to live in America. You know why? Because you might meet somebody from Syria or Russia or China or Japan or there's no telling who you could. And you know what the gospel's for? It's for everybody.
Amen.
I met a man yesterday. By the way, you have to look at our updated map where we've tried to help our community with the gospel. And knocked on his door. Ethan was with me. He'll remember this conversation. And he said, I'm not from America. I'm not from America. I said, yeah, listen to me. God is God over everybody.
Amen.
He's not just God over America.
Right.
He's not just, the gospel's for everybody.
Right.
It's not just for America, it's for every nation, every people, every tongue, every tribe.
Amen.
When you go out these doors, it's for your neighbor, it's for your family members, it's for the guy that's working at the Winn-Dixie, it's the guy at the gas station, it's whoever you meet, that's who the gospel's for. Amen.
Amen.
If you and I can get the gospel to them, Jesus will be pleased.
Amen.
You know, that's not a guarantee that everybody will receive the gospel. It's for those that will believe.
Right.
Those that will believe will receive the power of it. They'll see how much it changes the life.
Yeah.
It's not our job to make them choose to believe. That's up to them.
Yes.
Amen? You know what our job is? It's to get the gospel to them.
Yes. Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So maybe you ought to do, if you're a little embarrassed, to talk to people about Jesus. Why don't you pray about that, son? Say, Lord, give me the boldness I need to talk to anybody in the world about Jesus. If it's president, if it's pauper, if it's anybody. Give me the boldness I need to tell people about you. I'm not ashamed. I promise you, there's not one of us that would say this morning, I'm ashamed of Jesus.
Amen?
None of us would say that. Lord, I'm never ashamed of you. Help me to have the boldness I need to speak to others. Amen? Would you do that?
Yes.
And this week, would you pray, God, help me put 10 tracts in the hands of people that you're dealing with. God, help me give a tract to somebody that you're dealing with.
Yes.
God, save somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we got the gospel to them. Would you do that? And let's trust that the Lord will work in their hearts. Amen?
Amen.
You're here this morning, and you have not yet received Christ as your Savior. I want to beg you to do that. I want to plead with you to do that. You never know what's going to happen in your life. I told y'all Vicky and Casey and them was falling behind his mom and dad and his grandparents, and a tree fell. Now yesterday was not a stormy day. There was no wind blowing. They're riding down the road after a birthday event, and all of a sudden a tree falls. It's their vehicle. Knocks the driver out. She veers off into other traffic. Other traffic hits them head on. Thankfully, the other lady that hit them was not injured. I praise God for that. And we still don't know what the outcome of that accident's going to be. Some of them are very serious conditions. You never know when God's going to say to you, it's time for you to go.
That's right.
10 out of 10 people die.
That's right.
And if you not receive Christ as your Savior and you die, you will go to hell. There's no way around that. The same Jesus that told us that there was a heaven, he said there's a hell.
That's right.
I said to Travis yesterday, Jesus said in John 14, I go prepare a mansion for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you.
Right.
And the same Jesus that said, I'm telling you about heaven, is the same Jesus that told us about hell.
That's right.
And if you die rejecting Jesus, you will spend eternity. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Christ. Be saved today. Would you do that?
Amen.
Put your faith and trust Him.
Yeah.
Christian, If you're struggling, being the witness that you ought to be, why don't you come and say, Lord, give me the boldness I need to tell others about you. Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning and we thank you for the power of the gospel. It is a transforming power.